Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy.
Welcome to episode 29, The Four Tenets of Osteopathic Medicine, A Descent. We're introducing a new feature for Osteopathy Unplugged, the opinion piece. In this collection, we'll be taking on complicated and controversial topics and presenting our opinions that many will find right on and others might disagree with. That's great. We want to fly directly into some turbulent areas of controversy and stimulate thoughts and responses. Steve has always had a strong response when posed with the four tenets of osteopathic medicine as presented by many ongoing committees of the American Osteopathic Association. There are many comments that I too would like to make regarding the way too general, what I like to call undemanding four tenets of osteopathy. I don't disagree with any of them, but they are way too general and apply to anyone practicing any form of good care of other people. We named our podcast Osteopathy Unplugged for several reasons. First, to use a music analogy in rock and roll, we're the acoustic version of osteopathy. Osteopathy at its core is hands-on and not plugged into technology. Osteopathic practice is ultimately low-tech, and we use this as a complement. We bring to the table the humble and profound rather than the loud and boisterous. No flashing lights and sleight of hand for us. Rather, we aspire to quiet clinical engagement while converging our attention to the human being in front of us. Second, to be unplugged is to be disconnected from our devices. During an osteopathic treatment, we are not on our cell phones or busy and unavailable with our computers. We're present completely with our patients, and we are experts in paying attention. Finally, Steve and I have unplugged from the political systems in American osteopathy. We are non-aligned politically in the dogmatic and commonly divisive medical and osteopathic professional associations. All right, Steve, lay it on the line.
The great Czech writer Milan Kundera, in his book Immortality, describes an interesting devolution of Marxism in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He reports, and I quote, "Some 100 years ago in Russia, persecuted Marxists began to gather secretly in small circles in order to study Marx's manifesto. They simplified the contents of the simple ideology in order to disseminate it to other circles whose members, simplifying further and further this simplification of the simple, kept passing it on and on, so that when Marxism became known and powerful on the whole planet, all that was left of it was a collection of six or seven slogans so poorly linked that it can hardly be called an ideology. And precisely because the remnants of Marxism no longer form any logical system of ideas, but only a series of suggestive images and slogans, we can rightfully talk of a gradual, general, planetary transformation of an ideology into imageology," end quote.
Wow.
I'm not a Marxist, but I love Kundera. His most famous book is The Incredible Lightness of Being, and his writings propel the reader into other worlds with profound teachings and fascinating plots. He concomitantly explores the tragic and the cosmic in a style of writing referred to as philosophical literary fiction. The plot of a profession is a lot like the plot of a great book. The plot of the American osteopathic profession has become in our time neither profound or fascinating, but is emerging as tragic. In my imagination, I can see the conflicted early osteopathic pioneers attempting to practice this novel form of healthcare called osteopathy that emerged during the waning years of the 19th century. These men and women were taught by the enigmatic Andrew Taylor Still, who gave them a clinical philosophy and offered them a distinctive way of looking at the body in health and disease. However, his system was not well delineated. He refused to outline specific manual medicine techniques. Instead, he demanded that his students study the depths of functional anatomy and recognize that the neuromusculoskeletal system influences the entire body. He proposed elusive ideas wrapped in the imprecise system of empirical medical practice. He mentored a core group of dedicated students, primarily in the oral tradition, and then tasked them with continuing his legacy into the 20th century and beyond. Still was an innovator and a visionary. Dr. Still may have discovered what we now call osteopathic medicine, but it was his direct students who were the developers. Our profession's forebears not only had to decipher Still's coded language regarding osteopathy, they had to practice this illegal profession in a medical and political climate of hostility toward new ideas regarding healthcare. They were persecuted, publicly humiliated, driven out of town, thrown in jail, and generally denigrated by the prevailing medical system governed exclusively by MDs. The early osteopathic profession in America often went underground in order to practice. Eventually, DOs in the 20th century developed a separate and not equal system of healthcare with independent osteopathic hospitals, a separate medical education system, and distinct licensing structure different from that of MDs. Dr. Still and the early osteopathic pioneers never really worked the plot and thematic elements of the great book called Osteopathy. The logical question is, what is the thesis statement of osteopathy? And what are the interweaving plot elements of osteopathic philosophy and practice? In my daydreams, I can see these persecuted early osteopaths gathering secretly in small circles in order to study Still's clinical philosophy. I can see in my mind's eye as they gathered to simplify the contents of the simple philosophy in order to disseminate it to other circles, whose members, simplifying further and further, the simplification of the simple kept passing it on and on and on. Small groups of DOs gathered throughout the country, forming local county organizations that led to state osteopathic societies that ultimately became the American Osteopathic Association, or AOA. I surmise that once osteopathy became known on the whole planet, all that was left of it was a collection of four slogans so poorly linked that it can hardly be called a philosophy. As I look back on this plausible telling of our professional story, I'm disappointed to note that the remnants of Still's original teachings of osteopathy no longer form any logical system of ideas, but only a series of suggestive images and slogans. We can rightfully talk of a gradual, general, planetary transformation of osteopathic philosophy into imagology. I'm not equating osteopathy with Marxism. I'm suggesting that American osteopathic medicine has devolved into an embarrassing profession devoid of guiding principles. We are driven by slogans and a weak ideology. Slogans and the ideology they represent are a specious way of relating to the world. They represent an illusion of identity and of dignity. Slogans and ideology give the illusion of harmony and inclusivity. What is the progress of the narrative arc of the great novel called Osteopathy? We know the characters, but what is it that weaves it all together? Or what are the issues that obstruct our cohesiveness? I think we've stumbled along the way. Here's the problem as I see it. Nobody takes us seriously. The political wing of Western or allopathic medicine marginalizes those who practice osteopathic manipulative medicine as being glorified massage therapists. Our patients know better. They know that what we do is different, beneficial, and distinct. They understand the realities of the slogan, the difference a DO makes. But really, What's the difference? We seem reduced to slogans so poorly linked that it can hardly be called a philosophy. I would like to provide you with the most up-to-date version of the unimpressive four tenets of osteopathic medicine as approved by the AOA House of Delegates as policy. 1. The body is a unit. The person is a unit of body, mind, and spirit. 2. The body is capable of self-regulation, self-healing, and health maintenance. 3. Structure and function are reciprocally interrelated. 4. Rational treatment is based upon an understanding of the basic principles of body unity, self-regulation, and the interrelationship of structure and function. There's a bizarre myth that AT still developed these four tenets. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Beginning in 1953, a series of committees formulated these undemanding beliefs. None of these tenets are direct quotes. All of them are weak bastardizations of some aspect of Still's writings. The tenet that bothers me the most is the first one. Still never said or claimed that the person is a unit of body, mind, and spirit. This precept sounds so beautiful and implies that what we do is special or better than anyone else, but in reality, it's an empty slogan devoid of substance. Once in the early 1990s, I showed a friend of mine, an MD neurologist, the four tenets, and he laughed uncontrollably. He then went on to show me how ridiculous they were. He studied debate in college and ripped the four tenets apart with ease. I was embarrassed. In 1992, I had just earned my fellowship in the American Academy of Family Physicians and presented them to one of the national leaders in family medicine after my induction ceremony, and she looked at me with surprise, stating, and I quote, "These precepts are a part of what it means to be a great family physician. FPs have been practicing this and more for over 100 years. What's so special about your osteopathic four tenets?" End quote. I was mortified. Then I showed them to a friend who practiced Chinese medicine. She just shook her head and said, "Is this all you've got?" She then went on to show me that many alternative medicine practices, not just Chinese medicine, also agree with these four tenets. I was humiliated. Finally, I presented them to an esteemed physician homeopath for his review. He proceeded to deconstruct the weaknesses of our principles and stated clearly that the first three tenets are common to many healing professions, including not just family medicine, but also nursing. I was now all tangled up in confusion. All of them questioned what was meant by rational treatment. Rational treatment for disease and illness in the late 1800s included bloodletting, the use of mercurial medications, arsenic, blistering, purgatives, the use of leeches, and the excessive use of narcotics. Rational treatment in the 1950s for men and women with mental illnesses were lobotomies. Rational treatments to cure lice in much of the 20th century was gasoline. Rational treatment for pain in the 1990s and early 2000s was daily high-dose narcotics. Rational treatment of non-specific low back pain in the 21st century at a university-based medical center does not include osteopathic manipulative medicine. I could go on. Rational treatment is relative to time and place. When I asked a friend who served on the Educational Council on Osteopathic Principles, or ECOP, a committee that develops the up-to-date versions of the four tenets, why he and others promoted such a weak expression of osteopathic philosophy, he replied, and I quote, "We have to make them palatable for the masses," end quote. His answer bothered me. In corollary, he implied that the details of true osteopathic philosophy were unpalatable. Did he really think that students and patients are so stupid that they need a dumbed-down version of the complicated and interesting principles recorded by A.T. Still? I didn't express my feelings out loud. In this instance, I restrained myself. I understand that Dr. Still was not an organized teacher. Still was verbose and oblique, but he did spell out osteopathic philosophy in detail in his four books. Granted, The essential themes are buried and coded, but they are available for the curious. Granted, Dr. Still failed to create a concise thesis and plot for a profession, but his students also failed. I told my friend that we must do better than offering a palatable version of our distinct profession. His next reply was, and I quote, "The American Osteopathic Association will never go for it," end quote. The four tenets of osteopathic medicine were developed by a committee of DOs, researchers, and politicians in Kirksville in 1953. The regular modifications of the four tenets have been knocked around by several generations of committees. There's an old expression, if you want to kill any idea in the world, get a committee working on it. The committees tried to kill osteopathy in America. I think they have nearly succeeded. The four tenets of osteopathic medicine are a simplification process based upon being simple while attempting to explain using simple slogans. What happened to us? Why can't we come together and create a cohesive rendering of osteopathic philosophy that can be appreciated and demonstrate our distinctiveness? This is a rhetorical question. In the United States, physical therapy is the prevailing system of manual medicine that is integrated into the politics of federal, private insurance-based, and corporate and university-based medical allopathic model. In the 1980s, Michigan State University College of Osteopathic Medicine and Surgery opened their osteopathic manipulative medicine workshops to all PTs. They were taught osteopathic techniques such as muscle energy, counterstrain, myofascial release, and cranial osteopathy. The PTs took these techniques, absent osteopathic clinical philosophy, and incorporated them into the modality-based system of physical therapy. These techniques were washed free of anything reeking of osteopathic philosophy and reduced to just a biomechanical modality. If you want to see what happens to a profession that just applies techniques without engaging a greater philosophy, then cast your gaze upon American physical therapy. When A.T. Still implored his students that osteopathy was not just a set of techniques, that it was a distinct clinical philosophy directing exceptional patient care, he did not mean for us to throw the baby out with the bathwater. He didn't expect that we would give up so easily. He refused to give the osteopathic profession a book of techniques for the obvious reason of what happened with American PTs. Isn't it interesting that physical therapists never adopted and co-opted chiropractic techniques? Isn't it interesting that physical therapists never really adopted a massage therapy approach? They chose osteopathy because what we do is different and, I would argue, better, especially for patients with disease or true illness. Obviously, the PTs know that any aspect of the osteopathic approach is better, even if it's only a small part, but they just don't get the big picture. PT philosophy is based upon linking modalities while developing an organized exercise rehabilitation program. And what about massage therapy? Massage is generally applied in a non-clinical environment to people who are not patients. Individuals who see massage therapists are clients. They seek massage primarily, but not exclusively, for relaxation, stress reduction, pleasure, and temporary relief of pain. Massage therapists don't diagnose medical conditions and don't formally treat disease. Many massage therapists take osteopathic technique courses through the Upledger Foundation or other offshoots of osteopathy. Many claim to be providing an osteopathic approach while using cranial sacral therapy, muscle energy, or counterstrain techniques. Is it proper to say that an American DO is just a physician who practices massage? I've heard some version of that association from orthopedic surgeons after I've made referrals for hip or knee replacement. They've told my patients, he's not a real doctor. American osteopathic physicians who specialize in osteopathic manipulative medicine are doctors who treat patients who require a medical diagnosis and a novel treatment plan that includes osteopathic manipulation as well as all the available medical and surgical options of 21st century Western medicine. American osteopathic physicians who specialize in osteopathic manipulative medicine are the only profession in the world where a fully licensed physician gets training in manual medicine. All other forms of manual medicine are taught to and practiced by non-physicians. I'm not going to denigrate chiropractic. In the history of osteopathy in America, DOs have constantly been compared with the DC, or Doctor of Chiropractic. Especially in the early years of osteopathy, DOs and DCs were in competition for many of the same patients. At best, we're lumped with chiropractors in the alternative medicine model, and at worst, we are called fully licensed physicians who also practice like a chiropractor. Osteopathy as a profession arrived first and historically began in 1892. Chiropractic came later and historically started in 1902. In the United States, the dominant system of manual medicine that is not integrated into the allopathic model is practiced by chiropractors. Chiropractors by choice are outsiders and are often in conflict with the allopathic model of medicine. Just as physical therapists have adopted osteopathic techniques and integrated them into their modality-based practice, chiropractors have done the same. Michigan State University did not allow chiropractors to attend osteopathic manipulative medicine courses, but private organizations did. Most significantly, the Upledger Foundation taught chiropractors, PTs, and massage therapists key osteopathic techniques such as muscle energy, counterstrain, myofascial release, and cranial osteopathy. They took these techniques, absent osteopathic clinical philosophy, and incorporated them into the chiropractic model of healthcare. These techniques were washed free of anything reeking of osteopathic philosophy. Many low-force chiropractors utilized the osteopathic techniques taught at organizations like the Upledger Foundation. Just as physical therapists, chiropractors, and massage therapists have adopted osteopathic techniques, Rolfers and those who practice structural integration have done the same. Rolfing has been profoundly influenced by osteopathy. Ida Rolf, the founder of Rolfing, worked with osteopaths early in her career and spoke favorably of the American DOs that she allied with. Rolfers have also taken Upledger Foundation courses in muscle energy, counterstrain, myofascial release, and cranial osteopathy. Many Rolfers transitioned from the more physically aggressive form of traditional Rolfing technique to the gentler, osteopathically based techniques, especially as they age. The American osteopathic approach has profoundly influenced the evolution of Rolfing and structural integration. The vast majority of American osteopathic physicians who now practice exactly like an MD are now insiders within the status quo of Western medicine, except if we practice osteopathic manipulative medicine. Dr. Still declared that he wanted to establish a new system of medical education, and it was his hope that osteopathy would positively influence the Byzantine and toxic allopathic medical system of his time. The operative phrase here is his time. I would argue that he failed. However, he has profoundly influenced physical therapy, chiropractic, massage therapy, and Rolfing. To the many doubters and haters of osteopathy, I would like for you to remember that Dr. Still was a courageous visionary who fought the toxic medical system of his time. Remember, in the late 19th century, the standard treatments or rational treatments for many diseases were bloodletting, the use of mercury-based drugs, purging, blistering, and many more noxious treatments. Narcotics were used liberally to treat adults and children. Cocaine was used commonly in patent medications. Alcohol was considered a beneficial healing agent. Addicting patients to narcotics or alcohol was not recognized as a side effect by the MDs of that time, but considered rational treatment. Addiction ran rampant and was frequently caused by medical treatments prescribed by MDs. A.T. Still was vehemently opposed to the use of narcotics and alcohol in medical practice. His bravery in opposing the medical status quo remains unrecognized by modern American DOs. Medicine has come a long way since the late 19th century. If American DOs had studied osteopathic history and Dr. Still's opposition to the use of narcotics, they may not have been complicit in the opioid crisis of the 1990s and early 2000s. I beg the American osteopathic profession not to devolve into presentism. Presentism is the philosophy of comparing historical figures to the standards of today. That approach is prejudicial and historically a mistake. Please, let us allow Dr. Still to stand alone in his time and be judged by the standards of the late 19th century, not by the bigotry of the 21st century. We must not forget that osteopathy is an indigenous brand of American medicine. I use indigenous in this context to mean original or homegrown. At the same time, osteopathy in America is, to be exact, a part of the Western medicine canon. Technically, osteopathic manipulative medicine in America is not alternative medicine. One definition of alternative medicine is any system of therapy not taught and integrated into an accredited medical school. There are 42 osteopathic medical schools in the United States. All are nationally accredited in the same way that MD schools are accredited. Every osteopathic medical student matches with allopathic students together for all medical and surgical residencies. Osteopathic manipulative medicine is a procedure performed by DOs and should be accepted as a part of the many standard options available for American Western medicine-based patient care. I need to introduce a big but here. But we are not fully accepted in the political medical system in the United States. Here and there, we are minimally integrated, but not everywhere. When corporate or university-based medical centers refer patients for manual medicine, they're nearly always sent to PTs, not to DOs. The American osteopathic profession has failed to integrate the best of what makes us distinctive into the standard of care of patients utilizing osteopathic manipulative medicine. The application of a watered-down version of osteopathic techniques applied as a modality by PTs without a unifying clinical philosophy is not an equal exchange for an American DO trained as a physician and osteopath. Dr. Still's greatest fears have come true. American physical therapy is proof that just applying techniques is not the same, is not as powerful, is not better than utilizing osteopathic clinical philosophy combined with the unique manual medicine approach of a DO who is also a physician. Yes, the American osteopathic profession has, for the most part, sold out its legacy. And yes, of course, there are a few PTs who get osteopathy, and there are a few who study osteopathic history and philosophy. But the vast majority of PTs use adapted osteopathic techniques devoid of osteopathic clinical philosophy applied exclusively as a modality. Yet we need to admit that this method of just utilizing technique can still help some patients symptomatically, but it's different. What a PT does is not even close to what a well-trained American DO is capable of doing. I need to apologize to my Canadian, European, Australian, New Zealand, and other non-American DO colleagues for not including them in my discussion. This episode of Osteopathy Unplugged needs to be devoted to the American problem with osteopathy. Nevertheless, I need to tell just one crucial anecdote. In 1997, at the Osteopathic Cranial Academy annual conference, the famous American-trained osteopathic physician Viola Fryman, DO, stood up at the banquet reception and declared that, and I quote, "The future of osteopathy is in Europe and Canada," end quote. I apologize that she left out the rest of the world. The audience of American DOs went crazy. They were apoplectic. They metaphorically threw food at Dr. Fryman. They argued with Dr. Fryman. They yelled at her. They bickered publicly and in small groups. She shifted the tone of the conference to one of implied unity to that of derisive infighting. Sometimes the truth hurts. Every American DO must study osteopathic history, and more importantly, osteopathic clinical philosophy of Dr. Still. By honestly studying our unique history, we are better able to appreciate our place in the modern world. Yes, our history is messy and convoluted. There's no straight line that brought us to modern American osteopathic medicine. If we are to comprehend osteopathic history, we must learn it differently. It's vital that we place A.T. Still in the context of his times and refrain from the fallacy of presentism. Ultimately, presentism leads to being dismissive of the past and distorts what was done out of context. Presentism isn't just unfair, it's fundamentally a bigoted cultural bias. In our pursuit of all things modern, it means that we're never really allowed to question the content of modernity. The four tenets of osteopathic medicine are the absolute modern interpretation of osteopathic philosophy. We're not allowed to question modern osteopathy. We're only to serve it as one serves the absolute, that is, without hesitation. The emperor has not been wearing clothes for at least 75 years. I choose to hesitate. I choose to expose that the emperor, the American Osteopathic Association, is naked. I propose that we can find the best of Andrew Taylor Still. We can easily discard the antiquated and silly, and then separate the wheat from the chaff. We can blend the distinctive beneficial actions of osteopathy with the modern practice of Western medicine. There's something beautiful about an osteopathic manipulative treatment. Our patients know and appreciate this beauty. We don't often include beauty in the discussion of medicine. Why not? William Shakespeare said in The Two Gentlemen of Verona, and I quote, "Beauty lives with kindness," end quote. The allopathic political world of corporate and university medical centers don't like to discuss beauty. They definitively don't appreciate kindness except as a slogan. You know what I think of slogans. The overwhelming majority of American DOs disavow their osteopathic heritage and have a distinct lack of respect and, most of all, kindness for Dr. Still and the early osteopathic pioneers. Unfortunately, the supermajority of American DOs who practice identically to an MD hate the DOs who practice hands-on osteopathy and are embarrassed by their degree and any mention of osteopathic manipulative medicine. In my 40 years of being an osteopath who specializes in osteopathic manipulative medicine in California and Vermont, I almost never have received a referral from a DO. I commonly get referrals from MDs. The many American DOs who practice in medical or surgical specialties are embarrassed and filled with shame regarding their degree and the implications that they are not like an MD. If you want to insult a DO orthopedic surgeon, call her an osteopath. They and other DO specialists hate being called an osteopath. It's my opinion that it's shame that drives the bigotry that DOs have for other DOs in the United States. Underneath it all, most bigots don't realize that they are bigots. I choose kindness over bigotry. I prefer inclusivity over the fallacy of presentism. And most of all, I vote for truly integrating the best of what Dr. Still discovered into all of American osteopathic medical education without apology and support that we stop the hate and intolerance directed towards our rich history and clinical philosophy. We are better than this. If the center is to hold, as the early osteopathic pioneers tried unsuccessfully to maintain against the simplifiers of their day, we will need an audience of osteopathic physicians willing to listen to the whole of osteopathy, not just the parts they enjoy. We need a plot and key thematic elements for this great profession of ours, not mystification or trivializations. We are so much more than a set of four anemic slogans developed by 75 years of committees. We have more depth than superficial imagology presents. We have a rich and diverse history and a deep and wide clinical philosophy. Osteopathy is greater than the sum of its parts. The American osteopathic medical profession needs to stop being an apologist for our past. The AOA is devoted to image over substance, and appeasement over distinctiveness. In American osteopathic medicine, our mythos is at war with our pathos, and as a result, we have no ethos. Our undemanding four tenets of osteopathic medicine are more pro forma than genuine. They barely meet the minimum requirements, in my opinion. The four tenets are more of a formality, and at best, they are perfunctory. It seems to me that the many committees that have formed, reformed, or given their tacit stamp of approval have done so automatically, rather than being willing to dive deeply to reveal the true depths of what we do and who we are. Osteopathy is so much more. The title of this opinion piece is The Four Tenets of Osteopathic Medicine, A Descent. The word descent is a homonym for the word decent. I have chosen to point out that the American osteopathic profession has descended far away from its founding principles by offering dissent and being, therefore, a dissident. The political system of American osteopathic medicine has become so ossified that there's practically no way for a nonconformist or nonconforming medical treatments like osteopathic manipulation to be truly implemented in osteopathic medical schools or widespread in practice. Dissidents are an interesting category of individuals who are independent thinkers and who function outside the power establishment. Andrew Taylor Still was a dissident who challenged the status quo of American allopathic medicine, and he was punished. We DOs exist because of his independent initiatives and his attempt to change the system. My intention is not to create a new set of pithy slogans that poorly define osteopathy. I can't stand on one foot and give you a brief and concise, unbalanced definition of osteopathy. To do so would be a disservice to our great profession. It would only serve to placate the policymakers. Over the years, I've spoken with hundreds of American DOs, and during our conversations, I've often questioned the four tenets. When I've doubted the validity of their assumptions regarding the four tenets, the most common response is, "Why rock the boat?" Others have replied, "They seem good enough for me." The four tenets are not good enough. And why not rock the boat? I choose to cause a little trouble because the four tenets are not even close to good enough. I'd like to switch analogies away from Marxism and sloganism to modern-day computer science. Our operating system originated with osteopathy 1.0, which is mostly contained within the oral tradition. Osteopathy 2.0 was the diluted version and is exemplified by the feeble four tenets. We desperately need osteopathy 3.0. We can, or we must, incorporate the best of osteopathy 1.0 while recognizing that the 2.0 version of our operating system did not work. We could reboot the great computer of osteopathy with new software and evolve before we become extinct in America. Or we could just carry on as is. I think Dr. Freiman was right. The future for osteopathy may not be in America. I know that some of my colleagues will be offended by this opinion piece. I won't apologize for my candor. It seems to me that we've all been enablers in this insidious process of watering down osteopathy over the past 75 years, and I refuse to be publicly complicit any longer. Yes, this opinion piece is a polemic, and isn't it time that we reassess our myopic political priorities and formally address the elephant in the room? In my osteopathic worldview, it's our hyperopic self-sabotage that's distorting our identity. As osteopathic physicians, we are taught to assess and reassess to determine if our efforts, osteopathic manipulation, are effective or ineffective. Why don't we apply the same philosophy of clinical rigor to the priorities and directions of our profession? I'm not saying that osteopathy needs to go back in time to some idyllic, happy place where we worship the past. I'm just saying that what we are doing and not doing are not working. Osteopathic medicine and osteopathic medical education are nearly washed clean of our true history and Dr. Still's philosophy. We've been functionally amalgamated into the allopathic system. On paper, we try to be distinct, but in practice, we are the same as an MD. That extra something that makes a DO unique is now so minimal that it has become functionally useless for the supermajority. I believe that we as DOs can be a distinct profession with a unique clinical philosophy and still be physicians. But to do so, we must be honest with ourselves. The current political slogan of The difference a DO makes is an image without substance, an ideology that is a paper tiger, and is based upon a set of slogans that are a simplification and minimization of a complex and deep clinical philosophy. The great writer and civil rights activist James Baldwin moved to Europe in 1948 and relocated to Paris at the age of 24 to escape the racism and homophobia he faced in the United States. In his essay, Notes of a Native Son, he announced that, and I quote, "I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually." I'd like to borrow the sentiment expressed by James Baldwin. I'm an American osteopathic physician who loves osteopathy more than any other system of healthcare in the world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize osteopathy perpetually. However, I don't criticize without offering solutions rather than parroting meaningless advertising jingles. Bonnie and I created Osteopathy Unplugged to promote a new narrative for osteopathy. Our version of our story has a plot. We have outlined the key thematic elements. We have a thesis statement that is not based upon empty slogans. Osteopathy Unplugged is our attempt to bring this great profession into the forefront and to encourage our inclusion in the healthcare system of America. We present to our profession the long form of our philosophy and guiding principles. Join us as we choose to dream of something greater for American and international osteopathy.
Thank you, Steve. We want to thank all of you for hanging in there with us for this very direct opinion piece. Steve and I discussed the tenor and tone of this episode for months before finally recording it. Steve went through multiple rewrites and direction changes in the writing of his opinion. We decided that our love and concern for the future of osteopathy made any controversy that we might encounter worthwhile. The American osteopathic profession is in trouble. We're either slowly dissipating and dwindling or on our way to dying. The impending extinction is not happening with a bang, but with a whimper. While the number of American osteopathic medical schools is increasing rapidly, the number of DOs utilizing osteopathic manipulation is fading fast. When Steve and I were in osteopathic medical school in the early 1980s, there were about 12 osteopathic medical schools in the United States. As of the posting of this podcast, there are 42, with more on the way. It has to get harder and harder to maintain high-quality programs when the quantity of schools is exploding. As more allopathically oriented DOs are being created, fewer and fewer American DOs want to practice osteopathic manipulation. And those who've been out there in practice utilizing OMT for years are more and more retiring early, leaving hands-on osteopathic physicians in short supply. Perhaps our American listeners will be inspired to step up and attempt to change the current dysfunctional system of osteopathy in America. Perhaps the osteopathic educational system will wake up and remember the real difference a DO makes can be that of a fully licensed physician who truly incorporates osteopathic manipulation into their healthcare practices. And hopefully, our concerns will not pan out and lead to the dwindling end of osteopathy. I'm hopeful, and I believe that there will always be a quiet minority carrying on the sacred practice of our beloved profession. But hope might not be enough. Hope can sometimes be reduced to not fully accepting the reality of how things are and merely wanting things to be different without taking any action to be a creative agent of change. If you accept what's happening and you care, may you be motivated to find a way to help osteopathy live on. In episode 30, we will be adding a new feature called Selected Shorts. Selected Shorts will be brief explorations of smaller topics that lend themselves to shorter episodes that are more conversational and less didactic. These shorts take single issues that could stand alone, or maybe the podcast equivalent of an abstract for a later in-depth analysis. Shorts will generally run around 30 minutes in length. They'll be thematically linked to the Practice of Osteopathy series and to Philosophy and Principles of Osteopathy. Just as other episodes fall into more than one collection, the same will be true of the selected short series. We believe that you'll enjoy this additional format. We'll continue to produce future in-depth episodes alongside the selected short series. Our next episode will be Release. Is it beneficial or an oversimplified illusion? Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged. We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy and are available wherever you get your podcasts.
A sample of each new episode beyond the foundational episodes will be available through your podcast provider. The full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. To have access to the complete collection, please subscribe at patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged.
A special thanks to Corey Blake for composing the music for Osteopathy Unplugged.
Thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.